You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com. Audio files will be available after the show, where you can download and listen anytime on your computer, mobile device, or join us live every week to practice English with real Americans speaking real English. All aboard the English Express.
Welcome to the English Express Radio Podcast. Send us an email, info@theenglishexpress.com. Check out our website at theenglishexpress.com. I'm here with my brother, Brandon. How you doing, kid?
Hello, everybody. How are you?
We get to do the fun show.
I can't hear him. Can you speak up? How is everybody out there?
Yeah, it's radio, man. They can't talk.
Oh, man. I thought they were joining us live.
All right. I got to do a mini Florida pile. What the Florida? F? Yeah.
He says Florida slowly sinking, sinking into the ocean. He says the housing tracts are built on halfback and the rest half fiction.
Woo! Time for the Florida pile.
Florida
this,
rocks.
Yeah, this one goes to Florida native Christopher LeCun, who is out enjoying a day on a boat with his family and his best friend. And they've got scuba gear. And they decided to anchor themselves to a buoy because they saw... What?
You anchor to a buoy?
Yeah, you know the little buoys that are like out in the middle of the lake?
Is that a normal thing?
I guess so. I don't know. In Florida, maybe.
I'm sorry, I'm hearing anchoring to a buoy and red flags are throwing up. Like, that doesn't sound good to me.
The reason why they anchored to the buoy is because they could see mysterious structures directly below the buoy.
Oh, that's creepy.
And they decided it would be a great idea to scuba dive down and check it out.
This sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
Well, as they got closer, LeCun felt a sudden, strong current. And as his friend Robert Blake says... He got sucked into a tube like a wet noodle.
Oh, Jesus.
Following is about 5 minutes being sucked into this tube in complete darkness as he struggles to hold onto his mask, a quarter mile long, 16-foot wide intake pipe.
Oh, whoa.
He says, you get to do a lot of thinking. At one point, because he's got no idea where this tube is leading. All he knows is it's sucking him in.
I don't know how many emergency crises you've been in, but time blanking drags. Like 15 seconds feels like a year.
Five minutes. At one point, he envisioned a turbine chopping him up on the other side. He thought, do I just pull the regulator out of my mouth and just end it now?
Oh, no, sir. No, don't do that.
He figures maybe it'll be better than just getting chopped up on the other side.
I think being turned into spaghetti meat's way better than drowning to death.
Well, as it turns out, this is an intake pipe that pulls 500,000 gallons a minute to cool the St. Lukey nuclear power plant reactors.
So he's a superhero now.
Well, fortunately...
This whole thing was an origin story.
Fortunately, he was just spit out into the plant's cooling pod.
I'm sure that smelled wonderful.
He's now filing a lawsuit against Florida Power and Light.
No, dumbass. You swam into the intake tunnel.
I just... When you see strange structures below you, the answer is not to swim into them. All right, let's get to the fat pile, which uses the same theme as the food pile.
I've been leaving on my things, so in the morning when the morning bird sings, there's still dinner on my dinner jacket till the dinner bell rings. I don't want a pizza, I don't want a pizza.
Okay, time for the fat pile. Do you think that America has a problem with obesity?
Hold on. Clifton, that pile looks really thin.
It is thin because we do not have a problem with obesity here at the English Express Radio Podcast.
That bitches need love too, Craig.
But we do have a problem with obesity in America. Americans are spending $210 billion a year on obesity-related medical treatments. So in order to call attention to the communities where the biggest weight problems are the most prevalent, WalletHub has examined 100 of America's top cities across 12 key metrics.
What is WalletHub?
I don't know. Google it. It's a website that did a survey, dude.
well prepared. He said, Google it.
So they're looking at the percentage of adults who are obese, the percentage of people who are physically inactive per a certain number of people to get the fattest cities and the skinniest cities in America. Okay, we'll see if you can spot the...
The fat link. Okay? We'll call it the sausage link. Spot the sausage.
The fattest city, Shreveport, Louisiana, Youngstown, Ohio, Jackson, Mississippi, Greensboro, Greensville. Oh, okay. I'm not reading all of the cities. I'm just going by states. So there's cities in these states, okay? Louisiana, Alabama, South Carolina, Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina, South Carolina, Mississippi, Ohio,
well, that all sounds
Louisiana.
Like it's in the South.
I think that you may have found the connection between fatness. Now, let's read.
I spotted the sausage.
Let's read some of the cities with the smallest weight problems. Provo, Utah. Colorado Springs, Colorado. Fort Collins, Colorado. San Jose, California. Denver, Colorado. San Francisco, California. Salt Lake City, Utah. Ogden, Utah. Hawaii. Portland, Oregon. Reno, Nevada.
Sounds like all in the Northwest. You know what that sounds like? All those places you listed, like Provo, Ogden, Salt Lake City, Boulder, all those places, those all have really lots of outdoor stuff to do. And same with the West Coast, like beach towns.
It's amazing how getting outside and hiking around the biking trails and stuff that are available here in Colorado, the Bay Area of California and Utah, getting outside keeps you skinny.
You know what I love about Salt Lake City, for all the things that people make fun of it for, I love the fact that you're in a major metropolitan area and all around you, every direction, I literally mean 360 degrees around you, is these huge, beautiful mountains that are like a 15-minute drive in any direction you go. Probably more like 30 minutes in some places, but the point is, you're always right next to a mountain. And like where I live in Sacramento, I'm in a major metropolitan area and I have to drive like an hour and 15 minutes to get to anything good nature. Yeah, there's nothing here, dude.
So what you're saying is in Sacramento, if you drive about 90 minutes in any direction, you get to someplace better.
Yeah. any direction you, again, 360 degrees, you can go any direction for 90 minutes and stop and you'll be in a better place than where you were.
Okay, so Sacramento isn't a great place to live. It's a great place to leave.
Ding, ding, ding. But that's why I love Utah. I love Salt Lake City specifically because you're so close to everything amazing.
Staying skinny is tough. I think you agree with that. It's hard to stay skinny.
Yeah, it's a lot harder if you have whiskey in your life.
Did you know that if you skimp on sleep, if you're sleep deprived, you're more likely to overeat and make poor food choices? But why? The University of Chicago Medical Center have figured it out. Too little sleep gives you the munchies. They say sleep loss amplifies the levels of a chemical in your blood that enhances the joy of eating, particularly the guilty pleasures from sweet or salty high-fat foods. So they did a study of where they deprived participants of sleep, and they were all young, they were all healthy, and they found that they were absolutely unable to resist cookies, chips, and candy, even though they had consumed a full meal that gave them 90% of their caloric needs 2 hours before. Didn't matter. They were tired. They ate and ate and ate.
Wow.
And they find that anytime you get less than 5 hours of sleep, it's likely to result in binge eating the next day that results in significant weight gain. So the more sleep deprived you are, less than 5 hours, even if you've had enough food.
Because I was sitting here thinking when you first read the story, when you first started, I was thinking, well, of course you eat more when you're up longer because you don't eat while you're sleeping. So if you spend more hours awake, you're going to feel hungry when it's nighttime, right? But that surprises me that it's they've just had something to eat and they're not staying up like all night long. They're still getting 5 hours of sleep.
And what they found was the folks who were not allowed to sleep consumed almost 1,000 calories additionally the next day. Wow. So we're talking about after they go to sleep and they wake up, they eat 1,000 calories more than they otherwise would, in addition to the snacks that they had the night before.
That's strange. I wonder if that has to do with the lack of energy. And so the body's trying to compensate by taking in more calories.
Well, they definitely weren't eating celery and carrots. The healthy adults, people who would normally eat that kind of stuff, ate a greater percentage of calories from fat and a lower percentage of calories from carbohydrates during the day following the sleep deprivation. So they're eating junk is what they're eating.
So if you want to be jolly, don't sleep.
That's it.
Then you too can jiggle like a bowl full of jelly.
Another study, this one coming out of Ohio State University, says that marriage messes up your weight now. And that is true whether you're walking down the aisle or headed for a divorce.
Ooh, that's, again, back to alcohol, I think.
Well, marriage and divorce are both called weight shocks because they lead people to pack on a lot of pounds. The funny thing is the risk is different depending on whether you're a man or a woman. For women, the weight gain happens right after marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got him now. I don't need this anymore.
For guys, the risk of adding weight goes up after a breakup.
No one loves me. She was my only chance at happiness.
Perhaps what led to the breakup was the woman gaining a lot of weight.
Maybe if you're a chauvinistic pig.
The most weight gain occurred in people older than the age of 30. So basically, it's not like it didn't happen when you were younger, but younger folks were better able to bounce back.
Yeah, I'm going to call all those guys who are gaining weight after a breakup. You guys need to bounce back faster because me, if I ever have a breakup, you can better believe after my breakup, I'll be in the best shape of my life.
How about dinnerware?
I got new women to attract. I got to get buff.
Here's another problem. Your dinner plates aren't helping either. A Georgia Tech study finds that people take bigger helpings when their food is the same color as their plate.
Really?
So if you have a white plate and you're eating
macaroni salad
or chicken Alfredo pasta, they take almost 30% more than when their plate was a darker contrasting color.
Makes sense because you can see the sauce and everything better. So you can see how much food you're putting on.
Scientists say that the less color contrast makes our brain work harder to figure out how much to serve. And our brains can't be bothered to figure out that nonsense. So
no, what I like to do actually is grab a smaller plate, which is where I thought you were going with that. Because it's like I can always go back for a second plate, you know, but if I put less food on my plate, I don't feel like I have to finish it. You know, if I get a really big plate.
Well, we did that story last week or week before. Whenever we did the health pile, we did that.
Oh, maybe that's why I'm thinking of it.
The other thing you should do, according to Cornell University, is weigh yourself daily. A lot of people felt that weighing yourself. What are you doing?
I'm not weighing myself daily. That is way too much blanking work. No, I don't care that much about my health.
Well, it's not just stepping on the bathroom scale, but actually keeping track of your results. And guess who it works the best for? Men. The study found that people who lost the most weight during the first year were not only able to lose more, but to maintain that weight loss throughout the next 2 years. Because statistics show that 40% of weight lost with any dietary treatment, you gain it back in your first year. And almost 100% of the weight you lost is back at the end of 5 years.
I heard that recently about The Biggest Loser. They found like 9 out of 10 people from season 6 had that exact same thing happen.
Yeah, huge story. But they say you can keep that off just by weighing yourself and keeping track of your results.
You know, I just want to send out a caveat. How do you say that word? Caveat? I want to send out one of those to our listening audience, all two of you out there. you have to be careful if you're weighing yourself every day and don't get too wrapped up in that number because it's just a number. If you're gonna weigh yourself every day, do it in the morning. Wake up and have your morning urination so your body is empty of excess water. Don't drink anything. Weigh yourself then, and then go about your day. Do whatever you're going to do. And the next day, weigh yourself at the exact same time in the exact same way, and that's how to keep track of your weight. Don't go weighing yourself at 6 o'clock in the morning and then the next day weighing at 8 p.m. Those two weights are going to be different.
And get like, out more.
Well, and you'll find yourself going, oh my God, I gained 8 pounds in 24 hours. I need to go on a crash diet. No, you gained 8 pounds of water. Calm down.
Just keep track of your weight. Don't change anything. And you're going to find yourself mentally just adjusting and maybe eating a little bit less. And you'll see a trend over time. Well, we'll be back.
Right, Clifton says, go out into the mountains.
Get out more. We'll be back with another segment here on the English Express Radio Podcast.
Listening to the English Express Radio Podcast, number one among people who listen to us all the time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help.
To help solve hunger in Metro Denver and Northern Colorado and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hop aboard the English Express. Choo choo, mother.
A child born today has a better chance of hearing a real clone dinosaur than to hear a busy signal.
What? Did you say a clone dinosaur?
Yeah, a cloned dinosaur. Than a busy really? Signal. When is the last time you heard a busy signal?
You want to know the honest answer?
Yeah.
Yesterday.
You are such a loser.
I swear.
And come on.
It confused me so bad. I don't know how it happened. I tried calling my wife and I was just looking for her phone. Okay. So we're in the same house. I'm in the same house and she's like, call my phone for me. I need to find it. So I call it and I get that. What?
When's the last time you heard it before then?
Years, man.
Well, for those of us who lived through the beginning of the PC revolution, I've got some sounds that...
Oh, God. Oh.
You cannot forget. I mean, we're not going to forget these.
There's one sound that you have to play this sound. It still haunts me in my dreams.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I've got it.
Oh, I know you do. You must.
All right. Let's start with this one. Do you remember the Mac operating system uh-oh sound?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the ICQ used to use that too, didn't they?
I don't know. You used to, you know, it took me until I was in my 20s to realize what ICQ was trying to say with their name.
What were they trying to say?
I seek you.
Oh, I didn't know that.
See, I just saw it as ICQ, and I'm like, it took me until my 20s when I realized that, that's a clever name. I like that.
Well, I bought my first computer. I was 15 years old, and it was way back in like 1995. Yes, folks, I am old.
Yeah, and, used to take 5 minutes to load a one porn picture. awful time.
The dinosaur ages. But I actually saved my money all summer long for this brick of a computer that wouldn't be worth the scrap. I paid over $2,000, and that was a crappy computer. That was a crappy computer back then.
What, like 2 gig hard drive? Oh, 256K RAM.
Oh, I didn't have 256K. That was a dream.
How much RAM did you have?
Like, what was it? Half that? It was like 64.
Really? You had 128K?
64.
That's a fourth.
Okay, it was a fourth then. I thought you said 128. You had like these little chips. It was terrible. And I remember every time you would make a mistake, you know, these error messages.
Yeah. Was it Windows
95.
What was the one before that? 3.1?
Yeah, and I didn't have that. With Mac computers, and I heard this at school, it would literally yell at you every time you hit the wrong key. And it would be...
Yep. Yeah, totally that one.
Damn it. Damn it. Shut up.
All I'm going to do is play Number Crunchers.
Yeah, that was cute, like, the first 300 times.
That's when your teacher knew you were trying to open Odell Down Under instead of doing your math typing.
Freaking demonic chipmunk screaming, uh-oh, every time I experience an error. I'm like, oh, it drove me nuts.
I just picture Chip and Dale trying to do a line of coke and dropping it on the floor.
Oh. All right, let's see if you can recognize this sound. I'm just going to play it, and you tell me when you know what it is.
Sounds like a printer whirring.
Nope. Come on. Oh, God.
One more time. Is it a 3.5-inch floppy disk?
Nope.
Ugh.
Think Blockbuster.
So it's a rewinding VHS tape.
It is a rewinding VHS tape.
That's what I thought before I said the second one, but I'm like, I thought this was computer age. I didn't know we were straying away from that.
No, these are just sounds from days gone by. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And they would actually charge you a late fee, a no rewinding fee, all these kinds of things. And it was... We all experienced it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there actually came out a product. Now, this might blow your mind if you didn't live in the 90s. They actually came out with a product that would rewind your VHS tapes for you.
Yeah, you pop it in at high speeds.
Yeah, man. Talk about obsolete now.
How about this sound? Let's see if you can recognize this. You gotta know what it is.
I don't know that one.
You called it already. That's a floppy disk drive.
Oh, okay.
Back in the 80s and 90s, we would put our thing and just wait and wait while our PCs tried to read the data off of the floppy disks. And we would sit there and be like, please don't be demagnetized. Have a scratch.
Just do this for me.
I hope that the term paper that I worked on for 16 hours didn't get erased.
Right.
And then you would hear this scraping noise and you're like, no!
Dude, did you know the United States military still uses 3.5-inch floppy drives for their For their nuclear weapons facilities.
Come on.
Yeah. Verbatim still makes hundreds of thousands of floppy disks a year. A month. I'm sorry. Still makes hundreds of thousands a month.
Oh, my God.
To sell to the military.
Okay. What about this one?
Oh, God. This is the one. Yeah. I wake up in cold sweats to this noise. Tell your friend to call later, Mom. I don't have call waiting.
Oh, yeah. This meant you were going online. You were connected, and because I used AOL back in the day, and
you've got mail.
You've got mail.
Oh, I got it louder.
You've got mail.
Hello.
Yeah, and that's what you waited for. That's what you loved, you know. And it was
when AOL was like the only thing you could use to connect.
Yeah, exactly. And people just aren't hearing that anymore because we talked about this on the Puyallup Tribal show about how they had everything going for them, but they screwed it all up. Okay. Here's one that nobody hears anymore that we used to hear all the time. Just the dial tone.
Yeah. Just picking up a landline.
Yeah. And that's how you know that. And my favorite was when you let that go long enough, you got this really angry, mop, 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 mop.
I love that lady. I miss the girl who would come on and say, you have dialed an incorrect number. Please hang up the phone and dial again.
Okay, how about this one? See if you can recognize the sound.
Oh my God, I know this noise. This sounds like a slide projector. Oh, It's a phone. It's a rotary phone.
Yes, it is a rotary phone. Very good.
Yeah, okay. That took a while. I only had that for about 5 years out of my life. After that, we moved to the touch tones.
Yeah, but we still had one laying around until it broke.
Yeah. Is it a desk jet printer?
Close.
Fax machine. The nope. Old fax machines.
Nope.
Oh, God, that hurts.
No idea?
Man, this sounds like a printer.
It is a printer, but what type of printer? It's not a desk jet.
An inkjet?
Nope. It's a dot matrix printer.
The old ones, the old ones that they use for like medical coding and billing, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They came on the paper that was like all folded
perforated
up
and, with
yes.
holes. Yeah. I totally, it was like, if you undid that thing, it was like a mile long worth of paper.
Do you remember when we used to prank call friends and stuff like that?
Yeah.
At the school, and I had like everybody's phone number at school.
Yeah.
It was printed on one of those.
That's crazy.
Okay. How about this one here?
Oh, that's when you won a game. I just won a game.
You could use it for that, but that was the Windows 95 shutdown sound.
Oh, okay. So every time I won Solitaire or Minesweeper, I got that.
Yeah, they use the same sound, but that was shutting down the computer and it would start closing down.
No, that's the worst sound for shutdown. It sounds like, yay, I finally get to go to sleep.
<You know? laughs> And I think I've got one more here.
That's a keyboard.
Yeah, you never hear keyboards like this anymore.
What? You're never around people that type then.
No, come on. Well, okay, gamers and typing traditionalists still use mechanical keyboards like that. Notebooks and most desktops come with these like letters that, you know, when you type, they're almost silent. But back when...
Oh, yeah, I don't use notebooks.
Oh, okay.
Or tablets. I don't use those type of typing materials. I always use... I'll show all of our live listeners, and if you listen live, you can be one too. I have a real keyboard.
Well, I have a real keyboard too, but they're like set to not make that sound. But I used to love that sound every time you hit the key. It's beautiful.
When I lived in Salt Lake City, I went through a training program for the United States Postal Service. Basically, when you write the address really sloppy on a letter, there's a picture that's taken and it's sent to a building down in Salt Lake City where people look at that picture and try and figure out what you were trying to say. And they memorize all the postal codes. So they type in the postal codes manually. And that's all they do for 8 hours a day. They sit in front of a computer and they watch these images go by and they just type in the code. Well, there's about 1,000 people in that room doing this. And that noise is mayhem. It's like everywhere. Just typing left and right and everywhere. It's crazy.
That sounds like a wonderful job that I'm sure that you kept for a long, long, long time.
No, I walked past this guy, right? He was about 450 pounds, and I'm not making a joke. He's literally about that big. And this guy had two computer screens. He had one on his left hand, one on his right hand, and he was able to see the images go by on both screens and be coding them independently. Like his left hand was working on one and his right hand was working on one, literally doing the job of two people and about the size of two people. I looked at him, and said, "That's the best I can be at this job. No, I don't want to be here. I'm out."
So I hope you enjoyed our little walk down memory lane and some of the sounds for all you old fogies out there that we all remember. And our kids today will never know that joy of the modem sound.
Dude, I was watching Netflix with my kids the other week and I just got so mad. I'm like, these kids will never know what a cliffhanger is.
These kids, they can just keep watching, yeah.
They won't even know what a commercial is. Like,
who shot JR?
Right. Well, let's click the next episode and find out. You jerk.
Dang it, Kristen. JR loved you.
Spoiler alert.
All right. Thanks for joining this week. Email info@theenglishexpress.com with your listener mail. Check us out online. TheEnglishExpress.com. Do a search on iTunes and subscribe. In the meantime, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for joining us here on the English Express Radio Podcast.
Bye.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast, number one among people who listen to us all the time.